Well, once again, good morning and happy Mother's Day. We're very grateful for all of you. I knew that some were going to be away today, and in past Mother's Day, some of the ones who aren't here had told me that they have a very difficult time coming out on Mother's Day, so I didn't expect them to be here. This is a great day of celebration, but as you are aware, it's one of the more painful days of the year for some women. A woman who has never had the privilege of being a mom, or maybe has lost children in childbirth and is told she can't have them any longer, or one who's have buried their children. It's a painful day, so we want to be sensitive to that. We're also very very grateful for the men and, or for the women in our lives. As we prayed this morning, Sunday school teachers, not just our own moms, but women who taught Sunday school or VBS, or even ladies we had in the school system, ladies who we knew that they loved us. So we're very grateful for them. And we're not going to take the time to recognize moms, but whether you're a mother or a grandmother, a great-grandmother, or a mother-in-law, we're very grateful for you this morning. So I wasn't planning on doing a message for moms this morning, since we started the new series last week, but then I thought we haven't done that in a while, so we are just going to be looking at a quick time of honoring mom this morning. And I want to read a couple of things. One is former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Richard Halverson. He wrote this probably 20 years ago, and he said, "Is a father more influential in his children's lives than a mother? I don't think so. There are many mother images in the Bible, or there are as many mother images in the Bible as there are father images. In my mind, God is both father and mother. A mother embodies God's love, his care, his character, and nature as much as does a father. As chaplain of the U.S. Senate, I hear leaders of our country talk time and time again about the influence of their moms, perhaps even more so than the influence of their fathers. One 82-year-old senator speaks about his mother every time he gets a chance. At a Senate prayer breakfast, I hear more about mother images than father images. I think the relationship between a mother and a child is much more intimate because of the 9 months of gestation within the mother. There's no way in the world that a father can have that type of relationship. Though the father has a responsibility for instruction for his children in his faith, most mothers probably do a better job." So we are very grateful this morning. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time as we look at how we can honor our mom today. Father, we thank you for our moms. Whether we were privileged to have a mom that's still alive, or even if we were privileged to have a godly mother, I realize that some look back on their childhood and have painful memories of a wayward mom or a wayward dad, an alcoholic parent. We know those times are painful, and especially when we say we want to honor moms today, some of them have a difficult time with that. But we just pray, Lord, for the women in our lives, and pray that our ladies here would be the women that you call them to be. And we're so grateful for them and thankful for the impact that they not only have in our individual lives and in our family, but as Halverson said, upon our own nation. And we're grateful for women who pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this several years ago and came across it again this week as I was working on this message. And I don't know who wrote it, but "Things Only a Mom Can Teach." It's a pretty long list, so I want to take a few minutes. And when I read this a few years ago, I thought, this guy must have grown up in my home. He must have been a brother I never knew, because probably many of you are going to hear these things and you're going to think, my mom said that. So let me know. You can maybe raise your hand if your mom said this. He said, "My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home." Anybody ever hear that? "My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when your father gets home." "My mother taught me how to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me." "My mother told me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me." You ever hear that? "My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your I's, they're going to freeze that way." "My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you're never going to get a good job." "My mother taught me about ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold?" "My mother taught me about humor. I heard this one. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. Anybody ever hear that? You guys are afraid to admit it, unless your mom was completely different. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother never said that, but I had some friends who heard that. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Anybody ever hear that one? Okay. It's okay. You can talk about underwear in church. It's not a problem. My mother taught me about irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. I love that one. I don't know why. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until that spinach is gone. I think it was spinach or cauliflower that I heard that about. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me about how to solve physics problems. If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming to you, would you listen to me then? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's right. My mother never said, I heard that on Bill Cosby once. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate kids in the world who would love to have parents like you have. That's a little bit of the list. There's a few more, but just kind of give you an idea of what parents are like and what moms can do. And we're certainly grateful for them, even though we probably say some of those things. I don't know if I've said many of those things to my kids, but I always remember thinking, I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to say stupid stuff like that to my kids, and I probably have over the years. But Dr. Kenneth Chafin, he said, every mother's need comes from three facts. One, she's a woman. Second, she's a wife. And third, she's a mother. And obviously we know men and women are completely different, not just physically, but emotionally we're different. We had this, I think I talked about this at the teen center a couple of months ago. Some women came in, and she's not here today, so I'm going to say it. I knew the Lewises were going to be down with their daughter, but Sue Lewis and a couple of other women at the teen center came in. They were just talking about their husbands, and she said, I just can't believe Joe. Joe was sitting this morning, and if she'd been here, I would have said the same thing, so you can ask her next week. I said, Joe, what do you think? He said, nothing. And she goes, you got to be thinking something. And he said, no, I'm not thinking anything. And she goes, men can't do that. And I said, Sue, and I was telling this other, because the other woman said her husband does the same thing, and I said, that's the way we are. She goes, men cannot be that dense. I said, we're not dense. We don't call it dense, but men are that way. I said, we can sit in a room and we can just watch football or baseball or whatever and not think of anything else. And sometimes we'd be watching a game and not even be thinking about the game. And she said, there's no way. That's impossible. I said, I'm not just defending Joe. I'm just telling you as a man, that's true. And she said, the other woman said, I just wish for a moment that I could not think of anything for just a second. Any women ever that way? Is there a woman who just cannot shut off their brain? Okay. Because that's the way you're made. Men can sit there and just look at a blank wall with a blank look on their face and not think about anything. That's the way we are. And maybe it's a great gift. We don't worry a lot. But I told Sue and these other women, I said, that's funny because Cheryl and I can be talking about something, and we can be talking about something that happened today, and a few minutes later she'll come up with something that happened 30 years ago. And I'll say, where in the world did that come from? What does she say? I can't bother explaining it to you. Don't ask because I can't explain it to you. It's because all these roads are connected by all these electron things that are shooting off. And men's mind, we don't shoot. We don't have things that shoot off. We just, You know, if you tell us what to think about, we're okay. But we're not great about sitting back and thinking things on our own, and our thoughts don't connect. Sometimes if you see a ball game, it'll make you remember something that happened in a ball game 25 or 30 years ago. But it's not going to make us think, how is this person related to that person? You know, we're not made that way. But I'm so grateful for the women in our lives who mean a lot to us, even though we can laugh at one another. When I think of Mom, I obviously think of my own mother. She's been gone for about 3 years now, but I think of her praying for us. I think of her meals. I think of her just being there. She didn't work outside of her home until I was about 14. She had a daycare that she had in the home, but she didn't work outside the home. But she was always there for us. And again, I talked about hearing her pray for us. I think about my mother-in-law and the godly woman that she is, and certainly my own wife. And I don't know if my kids realize how fortunate they are to have her as a mom. But I think of many times over the years in ministry of visiting the maternity ward and getting there right after a child was born, in some cases getting there just before it was born, and then having the opportunity to take that newborn baby in my arms and pray for the baby, pray for the parents, and just see the mother maybe within an hour or half hour of going through this intense labor. And as I'm holding this newborn, just seeing that look of peace and that look of joy, that the pain was worth everything to bring this life into the world. I think of moms at the wedding of a son or daughter, and again, seeing the joy on their face. I've also been at the funeral as a mother has buried buried a child, and see the very unnaturalness of that. And I remember I've used that number of times when my dad died. My grandmother said, "This isn't the way it's supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen this way. The child's supposed to bury the mother or the parents, not a parent, their child." And I've just seen the sadness and the heartache at times like that. And as I said, this is one of the more painful days of the year for many women. But again, we want to honor them. I know it was a painful day for us before we adopted Cameron, but God gave us many opportunities to minister to people who were hurting. So this morning, I'm not going to be speaking to moms necessarily, but I'm going to be speaking to each of us who has a mom, because whether you're a mom or not, you do have a mother. But we should honor our moms for, and I don't have them in your note, we don't have notes, I just didn't want you to write anything today on this special day, but we honor moms first because God commands it. He says it in Exodus 20:12, honor your parents. We honor our parents not only because God commands it, but because God repeats it. And when God repeats something in Scripture, you know it's serious, and he repeats it again in Ephesians 6, and also because God rewards it. So God commands it, God repeats it, and God reports it or rewards it with a long life. So though this is not a complete list, it's just a list of things that we can be doing for our moms every day. So number one was we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. Obviously, praying is an essential part of our own personal growth, our own personal walk with the Lord, our own spiritual maturity, but prayer is also essential for our family as well. As parents, we obviously know the importance of praying for our children, but it's also important to teach children to pray. Someone had said that children are an untapped resource of prayer power. Children are an untapped resource of prayer power because kids aren't being taught to pray. Because kids aren't being instructed. If they're asking for a gift and they want something really bad, we don't say, pray for it. We'll say, well, we'll see if we can get it. We need to teach our kids when they ask for something, well, begin to pray about it. Ask God, if it's his will, maybe he'll provide that for you. When a friend is sick or a grandparent is sick or they're going through a family thing, let the kids know about it. I hear parents all the time saying, we want to protect our kids. We want to guard our kids from certain things. No, I think that's wrong. I think when our kids, when they're 2 and 3 years old, they're not going to understand. But you can ask them to pray for grandma and grandpa, or you can ask them to pray for a situation. But we need to allow our kids to know that we trust them and that God can answer prayer. We need to instruct our children how to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that prayer should be offered on behalf of all men, and that all, for anyone in authority, but all people can pray, and all people should be praying. And again, I don't have this up on the screen, but I just wrote down a few things that children should be praying for, and they should be instructed about how to pray. First, if your mother is born again, you know your mother is saved, you need to praise the Lord for that. Public school teachers, and if you work at the teen center, you're around children much at all, you're going to hear stories of young people who come from terrible situations and terrible homes. And sometimes, just even over the last few weeks teaching eighth grade, I hear kids talking about their home life, and I think, I don't even want to talk to them about my home life. I had such a great, great relationship with my parents, and I had such godly parents. I don't want to tell them that and hurt their feelings, but we need to, if we have godly parents, we need to praise the Lord for them. If they're not saved, then we need to pray for that. That should be the first thing on our prayer list for our parents, is that they come to know Jesus Christ, even if they're in their 70s, 80s, 90 years old. Pray that the Lord would speak to their hearts. When I was down speaking at my church's 75th anniversary a couple weeks ago, the pastor I grew up in, my dad had a heart attack and was in the hospital. He led a 91-year-old man to the Lord, and Pastor Glenn did the funeral. And I'd forgotten who did it, but Glenn said to me, he said, I remember the man, he said, we was talking about my dad just being such a great evangelist, and he said, I remember your dad leading a man to the Lord who was in his 90s in the hospital at St. Francis Hospital. I said, yeah. I said, his name was Mr. Lord. Because we said, Mr. Lord came to know the Lord. He goes, that's right. He said, what a great testimony that was. But whether they're 60 years old, 90 years old, it doesn't matter. God can still work in their hearts, and we need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that God will protect their marriage. Even if they're older, the temptations are there, and marriages fall apart, and it's so sad to hear people in their 70s or even later leaving a spouse after 40 or 50 years and just not loving them anymore. Pray for a protected, godly marriage. Pray for their health. Pray for patience and trust to face the daily pressures of life. Pray for wisdom and godliness. If they're a younger couple and you're a child at home, pray for them to have wisdom and discipline. Especially if they have other children, and because I know if you're praying, you never need discipline, right? But pray that they'd have wisdom in how to discipline their children and even you. Pray for their public testimony, and pray for their private devotions, that they would both be equal, that they won't just be something out in public, but they'll be strong privately before the Lord so that they can have a public testimony. Pray for spiritual growth in their life. Pray for your mom that she'd have the opportunity to schedule a quiet time during her day. If you're married and your parents are older, pray for the continue of their health. Pray that they find a usefulness in ministering for the Lord. The day that my mom died, she was in an automobile accident. She was ministering in a nursing home. And I'm so grateful for that heritage of a father who died the day he died back in 1980s, in 81. He was ministering at our church, got home and had a heart attack. My mom, the day she died, was visiting and playing the piano in the nursing home and singing songs for the people. Appreciate that. But pray that they'd have an availability to do the God's work. Pray for financial pressures for them, because sometimes living on Social Security or just a smaller paycheck is difficult. But pray for just their retirement, that the Lord would use them. As I pray for my kids, I pray now for their spouses, their future spouses. But I should also pray for them as parents, if God directs them to be parents, that they would be good parents, that my daughter would be a good mother, that my sons would marry women who will be good mothers. I used to have a sign in my office that said this: if revival depends on you, your prayers, your faith, your obedience, will America ever experience revival? I haven't seen that. I don't know if I lost it when I came here from Corning, but I haven't seen it the last few years. But I'm just such a powerful statement. If revival depends on me, will our country ever face revival? If it depends on my prayer life, it depends on your prayer life, will our country ever come back to the Lord? So number one, we pray for them. Number two, we're to obey them. And some of you maybe need to take notes for these if your kids aren't here today or if they're out of the home. Still write these things down because they're very important. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Ephesians 6, 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." One verse, the first one, "Children, be obedient to your parent in all things." In all things. And it means just that. It's real simple. Really, if we just say, "Be obedient to your parents," or "Be obedient in all things," that settles it. That's what your kids need to do. And maybe you need to take your kids to that verse, and it says, "Your parents in all things." I want to tell you something. Children have no business deciding what they can obey and what they can't obey. If mom and dad say, "This is what needs to be done," they need to do it. Now, perhaps we need to give them a little bit of leeway that they can come and talk to us about a situation. If they don't necessarily agree, maybe they feel that as a parent, you don't understand exactly what they're going through. But don't pull off of that demand and say, "God says, do it. God says, do it." I've heard teens and children talk about their parents. I've heard kids say, "I obey my dad. I'll listen to my dad because my dad means it. And my dad will settle things if I don't listen. But I don't listen to my mom as much. She's not the head of the home, or she doesn't have as much authority." But I'm going to tell you, if that's you as a child, you're wrong. You're sinning. And dads, if you promote that kind of behavior, I believe you're going to have to give an account to the Lord as well. Because we're called to be a team, and it's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100% given by both. But dads, if you allow your kids to have that kind of mindset, you're just as guilty. We need to obey our parents. Responsibility to God, responsibility to God involves both mom and dad. Let me read out of Deuteronomy chapter 18, chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city or to the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove this evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear." I tell young people that. I've used that passage many, many times as a youth pastor. When kids come into my office and they complain, or a parent comes first, and then I'll call a kid in, and I'll talk to them about their rebellious attitude and their hard heart, and they'll kind of give you that, me as their pastor, "Yeah, it's right. Yeah, my mom and dad are jerks. They don't understand what's going on, and they're demanding." And I take them to this, and I'll say, "Do you think God takes that seriously? Because if you lived in Old Testament Israel, your parents could just take you out, and it's because they love you that they would do this, take you out and say, 'Stone him, kill him.' God doesn't give a death sentence unless he means business about the sin." Perhaps we don't see this happening today, and I know we don't, but I think God's just as serious about rebellion and disobedience from our kids. He says in all things, and it means that. Also says in the second verse, obey your, should be pleasing to the Lord, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm sorry, I'm kind of looking at the wrong verse. But in the Lord, that's the real key. That is the real key. That I should obey my mom, not just because she's bigger than me, or because I'm afraid when my dad gets home I'm going to be in trouble. I should obey my mom because if I don't, it's against the law, against God's law. It goes against the law of God. Children need to know the Word of God, and they need to know what God's Word says about obedience. They need to learn to pray, but they need to follow up the prayer with being obedient to the Lord. So number two is obey them. Number three is respect them. respect them. Every son or daughter should be taught genuine respect for their mothers. To hit or to curse a mother meant instant death in Israel. Every child should be taught that they are never, ever hit their mom. Never even raise their hand to their mom. And I don't know about you, when I'm out in public and I see a kid screaming and hitting and kicking his mom and slapping her and spitting on her and biting her, and she does nothing about it, or the father stands there, I don't know if any of you just feel your skin begin to crawl, your fists begin to clench, and just think, something's got to be done with this brat. But I'm going to tell you something. If parents let their kids do that, there are some real problems. Children need to learn a holy respect for their mother. And if they act that way, if they curse or hit or slap or spit or bite their moms, it should not be a gentle reminder of what God says, if you know what I'm talking about. There needs to be some kind of firm discipline that happens. Let me just say this. Dad, you need to defend your wife. I had that conversation with a number of men over the years in counseling situations where the wife would come in and talk to me and just say that my kids are running rampant and I'm not getting any support from my husband. And I've talked to men about leaving their father and mother. I've had a number of women come in and complain about their mothers-in-law, and talk to the husband. And yes, he was kind of taking his mother's side against his wife. And I said, that is totally wrong. Guys, defend your wife. That's the one that God's given you. That's the one that's the mother of your children. Defend your moms. As I said, I've heard kids scream at their moms. I've heard kids make degrading remarks about their mom, and I don't allow it. If I'm a teacher in a classroom or if I'm the youth pastor in a room, I don't allow kids to do that. But the lack of respect is certainly evident in families today. You see it in schools. You see it in youth groups. You see it in churches. You see it in the government. And I believe God still hates it. And I think we need to be careful of that. I can tell you, I respected my mom even when we didn't agree. And the older I got and the older she got, there was a lot more we disagreed about. Cheryl can tell you that. She would get all worked up in arms. I've told you this story. If she was in a church with about 1,500 people, 2,000 people, and the ushers would come and serve communion in jeans, that was terrible. They would have a praise team, and there was a woman who, when we would go, she would kind of jump up and down, and she'd clap her hands, and my mom thought that was so ungodly. There were things that she thought we were doing terrible as parents. We would let our kids... Cameron went to a prom, and she thought that was wrong. I played cards, and she thought that was wrong. I preached out of something, and I still do, out of something that was not the King James Version. That was on my way to hell. But there were times when we didn't agree, but I always still respected her. And she didn't agree with me, but she let me voice my disagreement over it. But women wearing pants to church, that was probably worse than me playing cards. But I love my mom, and I still respected her, even when we disagree. I watched my two brothers-in-law were up last week. My mother-in-law had her 92nd birthday the week before, and they came up, and I watched them with her. They're no longer under her authority. But I watched them interact with her. They still respect her. They still tease her. They'll still come to her for guidance and words of encouragement. I know they pray for her, but I speak graciously about her. Are you respectful of your mom? Do you love her? Do you respect her? Do you speak appreciative words about her? Do you let people know how much she meant to you? Respect them. Number four, care for them. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." When Jesus was hanging on the cross, if you remember, in John chapter 19, When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." He was concerned about his mother when he was gone. And he wanted John to be the one who was going to be responsible for her. He cared for her. As I said, the obligation of a child is to honor his parents. And that doesn't end when they're grown. When the child is grown. It doesn't end when they have a family of their own. The devotion, the love, the respect, that mutual caring for them must continue until death. It's not because we're under their authority any longer. Matter of fact, that's what we said. We leave our father and mother and go to our wife, and the two become one flesh. It's not because we're under their authorities, but it's because who they are. They're still our parents. They're still our mom and our dad. And I put, you will always be your child, your mom's child, and she will always be your mom. You need to honor her every day. We really do. No, we're never, Spencer went with us down to Delaware a couple weeks ago, or went with me when I went down to speak, and I knew it was going to be this way. The only people that call me Ronnie are people that I grew up with. So I knew as soon as I walked into the church, it was like 30 different people, "Ronnie, Ronnie, Ronnie." And Spencer thought that was the funniest thing. But my mom always did that. She would always call up and say, "Is Ronnie there?" And I used to get annoyed by it. You know, it's at least she didn't call me Ronald. That was if I was in trouble. I knew I was my mom's son. And I knew those people back in Delaware, that's how they remembered me. You know, they remembered me. They hadn't seen me a whole lot since I graduated from Bible college and got married. We don't go back there that often. But that's how they remembered me, as little Ronnie. And that's how my mom referred to me, as her Ronnie. Does it get annoying? Yeah. I was always going to be her son. And she was always going to be my mom. Put up with little things is what I'm saying, okay? Don't get hung up on, you know, your mom calling you by this little pet name in front of your children, okay? Love them, honor them, care for them. And then number five is that final one, love them. I say the greatest words that any parent is ever going to hear. Obviously, they need to hear it from their spouse. The husband needs to tell his wife in front of his kids that he loves his mom. It's one of the things we try to do. When I come in the door, I wouldn't play with the kids until I could hug Cheryl and give her a kiss. And I did that normally in front of the kids. But I wanted them to know that she's the one I'm waiting to see. But our kids need to say that as well. Our children need to be taught to say, "I love you." And I used to always say that, even before I left for Bible college. I remember hearing my parents tell the story one time, and that touched me so much. They had some friends over, and they were playing games one night, and I went up, and I said, "Good night, guys." And I said, "Love you, Mom and Dad," and I went up to bed. And I was probably 17, 18, 19 years old at that point. And I remember my mom telling their friends, they said, "He has said that every night before he goes to bed." And I was up at the top of steps. I know they didn't think I heard this, but they said, "He'll never know how much we appreciate that. How much we appreciate hearing, 'I love you.'" And then as I was already doing that, but I'd come home sometime, you know, late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, if I was out with friends, and I'd always, "You guys awake?" If they weren't, they wouldn't answer me, obviously, but if they were, they'd say, "Yeah." I said, "This night, I just want to let you know I'm home, love you." I always loved them. I always cared for them. And they gave me reason to do that, but even if they didn't, we need to let them know we love them. There was a great old AT&T commercial. Maybe you remember this. It was a black couple. And the mother was sitting there crying when the husband walked in the door at the end of the day. And she was just sobbing. And he said, "What's happened? Are you okay?" And she goes, "Johnny called on the phone today." And the husband goes, "Oh, is everything okay?" And she goes, "Yes, everything's fine." He goes, "Are the kids okay? The grandkids all okay?" And she goes, he goes, "Yes." And she goes, "Is his wife okay?" He's asking all the questions. And he says, What happened? What did he call for?" And he goes, the mother said, "He just called to say, 'I love you, Mom.'" I thought that was a great commercial. "I love you, Mom." That was probably one of the best all-time commercials If you've never seen it, you could probably still Google it. But call to say, tell your mom you love her. Love needs to be communicated, not just assumed. You know, the old story is, I told my wife, the day I got married, I loved her, and if I ever changed, I'll let her know that. We need to tell our spouse. We need to tell our wife we love her. And we need to instruct and challenge our kids to say, Mom, I love you. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for Mother's Day. Thankful for the women. Again, Lord, I'm so thankful for my mom. Thankful for my mother-in-law. I'm thankful for Cheryl as my kid's mom. And Lord, we are so grateful for the women who built into my life. A lot of the women I got to see a few weeks ago when I was down in Delaware. Ones who taught Sunday school. Ones who loved me. Ones who encouraged me to go to ministry. Ones who said they remembered my parents and they told stories about that. But yet, ones who really cared for me but who loved you as well. And Lord, today I pray that we would be loving toward our parents and caring for them. And Lord, even sometimes when they get on our nerves and they say things that are kind of goofy and make us a little angry, we pray that we would still respect them and love them and care for them. But again, we're so thankful for the people you've brought into our lives, whether it's our own flesh and blood parents, in-laws, grandparents, again, teachers in school, women at church. Lord, so many women that you've brought into our lives who've nurtured us, who've prayed for us, who've cared for us, who put an arm around us and let us know they love us. And we're grateful today for their love for us and their love for you. We pray that this will be a real blessing today. This day would be one that we can honor those in our lives who meant so much to us. We pray that you'll just bless our fellowship as we go over there in a few moments. Lord, bless the food and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.